This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Pressure. You got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Uh-huh. Feel the flow happy. Feel it. It's circular. It's like a carousel.
It is time for the whole show pressure cooker. Officially, because yesterday we did a weird, or 2 days ago, it was like a weird mix of the pressure cooker and what did we learn, and that about blew Derbs' mind, mixing those two segments together. But we've got the dude down the hall in studio, and the Tanner Schwint Show in here, and of course, what's his face? Welcome back in to the whole show presented by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Pressure cooker time, fellas. Tanner's exchanging notes with Derbs. Michael, would you like to start us off? Who's in your whole show pressure cooker this weekend? Don't say something stupid. Please, just say something real. Like something that's really on your mind.
That's important.
Like asking a flightless bird to fly, Brady.
I could just see it in your eyes. You were getting ready to say like a weird pun or Star Trek.
I was going
to
say, should I save it for Monday or should I save it today?
Are you putting the bears in the pressure cooker? Because if that's the case, you should save that for Monday. This is about who's in the pressure cooker tonight, Saturday, and Sunday.
I might save mine for Monday.
Well, you got to do one today for things that are happening this weekend. He's shutting down. He's just shutting down.
I did want to do one.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm going to say something stupid.
Okay.
Tanner, you have a good show.
Can I bend the rules a little bit on pressure cooker?
No.
Why is there... Like,
can I just...
You can't do it because I'm waiting for Monday.
It ties in. The NHL trade deadline just went down.
Yeah.
They thought that Bobby McMahon from the Maple Leafs was going to end up in Colorado. He does not. So the Avs roster is set. So the pressure cooker is now on both Chris McFarland for what he just got done and Jared Bednar for these new pieces, including Nicholas Waugh, to gel and continue to put the pressure on Minnesota and Dallas to try and catch them. So you one of the best seasons, maybe the best season the Avs have ever had to this point. And you went and added some new pieces. Bednar and Gabriel Landeskog and crew better make sure they all know their parts of this puzzle. And they got to go into hyper gear here to make sure that they avoid having to be one of those wild card teams and face either Minnesota or Dallas.
So you're putting the...
Jared Bednar and Chris McFarland.
Okay. Specifically those two guys.
Those two.
Derbs?
I'm going to go to the hoop side of things here. Still questionable, but mine tonight is Aaron Gordon. I'm going to put him in the pressure cooker because he has to stay healthy for this team to have any remote chance of doing anything fun.
I agree. As fun as last night was with Aaron Gordon, the long game, certainly involves him being healthy.
All of those turnovers just get minimized when he's in there to me. I think he's just kind of like I talk about it all the time with Gabe Landeskog, settling the team down. I think Aaron Gordon, as great as Nikola Jokic is, I think he settles the nerves a little bit for that front court.
Well, and it also changes how, you know, you can't just have guards. What I'm seeing now is Joker getting the ball above the free throw line, and you're seeing guards chasing whoever they're defending, but they stop and mess with Joker for a little bit. If that starts happening, that's going to open up Aaron Gordon in his dunker spot.
Yeah, that would be ideal.
I look at that as well.
I'm going to put someone under pressure.
You already said you screwed up.
I'm putting you under pressure because after those two pressure cookers, they were great.
Nikola Jokic.
You're under pressure.
Nikola Jokic
it better be good.
Is on the pressure cooker.
No more turnovers.
turnovers. He had 28 points last night, a triple-double. And it's not just the turnovers. He still doesn't look, even though those numbers are incredible, he still doesn't look the same. And I do think it's not necessarily the injury or just getting back into the fold. I think it's the way teams are playing him right now. They're playing him differently than we've ever seen. I think Alex Caruso and the Oklahoma City Thunder unlocked a little bit of a code last year. And I think teams, especially as we're making the push now, where the games mean a little bit more, same games, just means a little bit more. I think you're starting to see coaches look at that and say, how can we just bother the we want to make it our goal to annoy the crap out of him. We will sacrifice leaving open a corner three if we can just continue to wear on him mentally. And I think for Joker, he's going to have to figure out, and I think that's for Adelman too, placing him different spots on the floor. I think that that's going to be something very significant to watch here in the next 18 games or so.
Jokic just sees the court so well. Like, Adelman be damned. Go to where you know it's going. And you guys, you talk about that dunker position. It's been interesting. The guy that I've been seeing do that more has been kind of Christian Brown. He's just not big enough. He's not physical enough to be there. But he is the only one that when Jokic is getting into a little bit of a bind, seemingly the last couple games, Christian Brown will cut down to the block there and wait. But he's not been getting those passes. And when he does, he's just not strong enough, physical enough. So Aaron Gordon getting back, even Peyton Watson getting back a little bit would be huge for this team at this point. But yeah, Nick, I agree with you, Brady. He just Jokic, and I know I've been making him mad about this, but
you make me very mad.
Jokic has not been himself because we don't see him pulling the floppity flopper flopperson, and he's been doing that. He did that big time against Utah, and so if he can find that rhythm a little bit, I mean, he's the greatest player in the damn world. He's going to help them win a lot of games. And the fact that he's, what did you say, 28, 13, and 12 last night, and he's off? Yeah, I think the Nuggets are going to be just fine.
I hate to say this, but I'm going to agree with Tanner on one thing that he says. Like, the too many threes for what this team needs right now, I think is a real thing. Like, it's easier for him to see the court when he's on the block. And it's harder for a guard if they can just get the entry pass down to him down there. That to me opens up so many more things that he does well, and then you just rely on the shooters making shots at that point. But for me, he spends too much time at the top of the key, and it's too predictable.
Well, recently,
there.
I mean, you didn't see that with Malone as much. Mm-hmm. You did see Joker. He would operate at the top of the key. He would operate on the wing sometimes, but he would a lot of times operate on that low post, mm-hmm. Or even at the free throw line. You're not seeing that as much, and I also think that's causing Jamal Murray not to give up the basketball as much. He's handling that rock a lot more than I remember him doing under Michael Malone. So,
does something feel off between those two? Sorry to cut you off, but does something feel off between Murray and Jokic?
It not necessarily. It does seem like Jamal Murray has been more reluctant to pass off to Joker than I remember in recent years under Michael Malone.
Those two just have like an incredible amount of pressure on them, because if one of those two don't score 30-ish plus, if not both of them, they have a hard time winning games because there's not another person on the court that is willing to just shoot a lot. I guess
Which again goes back to your point of getting Aaron Gordon back.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, Tim Hardaway is kind of that guy, but do I want Tim Hardaway shooting it 15 times off the bench at the way that he likes to get it up? Probably not, because it's a lot of quick shots. It's not necessarily rhythm basketball. It's him just firing.
But here we are again talking about the lack of those players around, and Cameron Johnson's been a complete no-show. So if we're having the same thing where, hey, we don't have the right guys around, maybe the depth isn't doing what we're supposed to, you got to kind of look back at that MPJ trade, do we not, at this point, and say, hey, is that so? Because that was your volume shooter.
I think you hit your ceiling. To me, I think you hit your ceiling with the current construct of the way it was with four monster contracts. If that Michael Porter Jr. is a monster contract, but it's more of like a guy like Donovan Mitchell or Luka Doncic, then it's a different story. But MPJ is going to shoot. Mm-hmm. But those threes aren't going to come open. They're not going to be there. Like in Brooklyn, they say go crazy. Just go do your thing. You can't do that with Joker and Jamal and Aaron Gordon on this team. I do think that, like, a Christian Brown, like, those guys, they're not stepping up in the way we thought, but he's been battling injuries. To be fair, we haven't seen the full experiment. We just haven't seen it take hold.
I feel like Christian Brown's part of the reason. What was that? Was that the Minnesota game on Sunday? It was the Utah game. It was the Utah game. The night Jamal went for 45. He had 45 points, 8 assists, and his plus minus was 0. So he was shoving that ball up, and they were going in. But every time, it was these crazy shots that he was going up with, and they don't go in every night. And Christian Brown's standing there wide open, and Murray's going into takeover mode. It just seems I don't know what it is. It just seems like those two maybe don't trust the people fully around them. But I think Christian Brown's got some get up and go, and I think we've seen those flashes. I heard you talking about you had him for over 12 points last night. He's been doing that more consistently. But then you look, and then there's a night where he has 4 shots, and it's because seemingly Murray doesn't want to pass the ball, or Jokic doesn't trust those guys out there on the corner. And the part of being great is changing with what you've got on the team. I feel like Murray and Jokic are a little reluctant right now to get some of those other guys involved.
I don't think Joker is as much. I think he's still looking to pass. But I've definitely noticed Jamal in that 2-man game kind of pushing it more toward a 1.5 game.
Yeah, a lot more shots going up in his direction rather than assisting. Some of the stuff with CB, too, though, we got to be a little realistic that, like, what they got him for is basically 10 points a night, 6 boards, 6 assists. And over the last couple of games, that's pretty much what he's doing. He's just not an impact player for that contract to me. Like, we got to live to be that he's going to be a defensive force. He's going to shoot roughly 40% from 3. He's going to contribute on the rebounding. He's going to contribute on the assisting. Right now, the way with Watson and Gordon out, like, I would like to have CB be a little bit more of an off ball and around those screens type of player to get him more involved. And it just seems to be like 85-90% Joker Murray, and I don't think that's sustainable.
Yeah, I think, again, the reason I haven't had a firm grasp on this team, you always ask me, like, what do you like tonight?
I saw after the game started you posted it, but didn't text it to me last night, buddy. Thanks.
Because I didn't have that much confidence in it.
Derb sent me a lock last night that lost by 3 goals.
You're welcome.
Really, really appreciate you guys.
I was close. I was 2 points away from Jokers. I was 2 minutes away from David Roddy and a bucket. I hit one of my 3.
I would have bet. I've been betting the Christian Brown thing.
I didn't text that to you because I wasn't 100% confident. Now, if I picture on Friday, everybody knows that. If you get that on Friday, then yeah, dude.
So give
green light.
I just like listen. I like the
Nuggets to win tonight.
I just hit that.
I tried to tell you last. You know, Joker. The Nuggets would beat the Thunder the other night.
Yeah,
they didn't. But
it was close.
But I was close. If you would have taken the points, you would have won. Uh-huh. I think the Nuggets are going to win on a back-to-back against the Knicks.
Okay, I will tonight. We'll be watching the Avs play the Stars, just because I hate the Stars almost as much as I hate the damn Lakers. One side pressure cooker thing that hit me as well. I'm going to put CSU basketball on the pressure cooker for tomorrow against Boise State at 2:00. The reason I'm doing it is because I'm a firm believer in getting a loss out of the way before the tournament starts. But I don't think you want it to be the last game of the season for CSU before that tournament. And you've got Boise State, who's coming off of a big win against San Diego State. Obviously, CSU, with what they did this week, was very, very good as well. But I think it's really important for Ali Farouk-Manesh and that CSU men's basketball team to get a win tomorrow.
I guess I just look at it like, I don't.
Let's get to the tournament.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think either way that affects them a whole lot as far as mental, because they've had a pretty good run over a couple of weeks. Like the winning's kind of ingrained.
I don't know.
That's tough.
Yeah,
tough.
I maybe that's where I'm coming from. It same with Derbs,
sure.
But I could certainly see why. You know, if you're a Rams team, you feel invincible right now.
Yeah, you don't want that.
And
taken
if you lose,
from you.
Then suddenly it's like, oh no. Does that hurt your confidence? But we'll see. I guess I'll be curious to see if Josh Pascarelli is involved tomorrow at all. And if not, when do you involve him in the tournament?
Do you involve him?
I think you bring him off the bench.
This winning streak started when he went down.
I would bring him off the bench.
I think he's supremely talented from what Kevin Lytle tells and what you tell me. But, I mean, he as soon as he went down, the Rams have gone on this run, and sometimes it's just a mesh thing. So Ollie's going to have some. So, I mean, Ollie could quickly become, okay, we're going to the big dance next year. If he can pull something crazy off in this Mountain West tournament, if he can incorporate Pascarelli back in there, because it was bleak, man. Rams were dead. So
I was out on the Rams.
Oh,
I mean, I was like, that's going to be kind of an average team that is building for the future. But They prove me wrong.
Right when we're out, they draw us back in.
They have players, so it's just I think it was just an actual gelling.
Well, Kerry
of
Booth
them
is
that can play.
I think Kerry Booth just needs a mental adjustment, and I think Ollie Faroukmanesh is the right guy for that. I love Rex Steiner's game. I know he turns it over a lot, but I love his game.
That dude's intense out there.
He's intense. You know, you don't. He's Scott Steiner's son, Derbs. You
also
know,
very intense.
If you were Scott Steiner's son, you'd already be a legend.
What's the Scott? Scott.
You're born into legendary status.
The best.
Big Papa Pump. Tanner.
That sounds made up.
He had he was a brother of Rick Steiner as one of the greatest tag teams to ever exist.
The dog face gremlin
going on the road beating New Mexico and having. What was it, 20 turnovers?
I'm sorry, why are you not
CSU
wanting to go into what we were talking about?
I have nothing to contribute to the fake wrestling men in tights.
It's fake.
Now, you want to talk UFC, boy. Big one.
Same thing. They wear tights.
Real
and
though.
Thing.
They wear real shorts. Though, Derbs, not scripted.
No, both not scripted.
No.
No, WWE, very scripted.
No,
I think
real.
Boy, do I have some news about Santa Claus for you, Derbs.
Very real.
There's a new wrestler, like, he's working his way up now. And he used to be like a pizza guy, and he brings in dough, and he flips it around, and he throws it at the person he's fighting, and knocks him out with it.
Oh my god!
So you're telling me that's not real?
You guys are children.
You're telling me that's not real?
You guys are
incredibly real. The dough has to be real.
Let's go test it. I'll go buy some dough right now. Can I throw it at you?
Yeah, I'll probably fall down and hurt myself. I'll never be able to wrestle again.
Guys, let's just agree.
You have to spin it the right way.
Let's just agree that both of them are men in tights type of sports.
We're that are both men. Very real. We're men in
tights. You said that, so obviously that's why.
Why are you blaming that on
that's
me, man?
Why.
At least one's not scripted. They're actually hitting each other. It's not just...
No, they hit each other.
Oh, they definitely hit each other.
They absolutely hit each other.
Oh, I just got hit so hard.
They headbutt and stuff.
God, Brady just hit me. Oh, no, not again. Mm-hmm. That's the WWE.
I also enjoy Robin Hood Men in Tights that he just went at, too.
That's actually
throw that
a
in there.
Movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome movie. So,
you like movies, don't you? Do you think those are real? Did you think what you were watching? What did you watch last night? Juju Land or Baba's
Eternity?
Okay. Do you think that was a real documentary, that they just turned the cameras on and then the guys just acted?
You know, but we all know that it is that they don't try and keep up a
well. They
didn't. Who was the?
They're not trying. To
was
tell
it John
us,
Stossel
no.
that got the crap kicked out of him because he told one of the
no, dumb, that was the guy with the dumb mustache.
Thanks, Mike. I know, but he
it wasn't John Stossel.
He tried to tell a WWE
Geraldo Rivera.
He tried to tell a WWE guy that it wasn't fake or it
Sting?
Was fake.
Was that Sting?
And then he got beat up. I don't know. But
I
like that's,
all the
well, that was a long time ago.
That's just a joke.
Yeah, that was part of the business.
Yeah, nobody ever would say that it's not real.
No.
It's not real.
Should never do that.
Okay, when you watch Star Trek, do you think that was filmed like as a documentary setting? No, that's a script. It's the same
script.
Thing as the
just
WWE.
Just like the WWE
correct.
Script.
Yes.
Yeah, but
although it's 100% real.
But still very real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No fake. One would try and sell a bill of goods saying that it's 100% real anymore.
It's entertaining.
Never once.
Sports entertainment.
It's sports entertainment.
Literally what it is.
Not really sport.
It's literally what it is. It is
sports.
The sports,
which is what you think that the NFL is.
Correct. They are listed in the exact same thing.
And Derbs,
you tried to tell me that about McDonald's too, and that's not real.
Yeah, it's a product, not a burger.
No, that's just not. I do.
It is a product.
See,
he worked at McDonald's back then, Michael.
No, it's a
product. Was next in line to be the CEO.
Any chance you can get that job back, Mike?
I do not want that.
They actually
job back.
Did the interview. And thought this was. Yeah.
So we're talking UFC on the other side or what? I'm fired up. I am actually genuine.
Is Patty the Baddie going to fight?
No.
We like him.
Charles the Bronx Oliveira.
Don't know what that is.
Versus Max Blessed Holloway for the BMF title.
No. He must be from the Bronx.
Yeah, maybe.
But
maybe.
I don't think he
but
is.
But it's scripted, so you don't really know.
Yeah, it's scripted in the UFC. That's,
why does
how do you
Brazil
know it's not scripted
fight?
In the UFC?
It's not.
How do you know?
I know. Dana White had to pull a fight because somebody got to him just 2 weeks ago.
That's one he knows of.
Yeah.
Right.
So it exists. So it's happened before.
So it's happened before.
So who knows? The script's already written for the Nuggets game tonight against the Knicks.
Because
it's happened before.
Basketball's the cleanest sport.
Pristine.
Nothing going on.
Resume.
What happened to that Portland head coach at the beginning of the year? That anything happened there?
No, he's not there anymore.
We don't even talk about him. Tanking's the issue.
It's a whole other place.
Gambling. What are you talking about? We don't even recall that guy.
No.
His wife
isolated issue.
Yeah.
So there's two reasons why you don't hear about this in the UFC because of the gambling. Number one, it's not as popular as the NBA. But number two is you've actually got a commissioner or owner, in this case, of Dana White, that goes, as soon as DraftKings or FanDuel or anybody reaches out and says, hey, we're seeing some weird stuff like that, he doesn't F around with it. He just pulls the fight. And he goes, and they launch an investigation into both fighters, and they find the cause of it, they're done. There's no, him hawing around like with the Portland thing in the NBA where they're still under investigation, all this stuff is going on, and I do give the UFC credit for that, because that is one that they could get to you pretty easily on.
Adam Silver does fine. He just calls and says, hey, which team did you say that was again? Okay, mm-hmm. Let me log into my account. Mm-hmm. The over tonight looks nice.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very reasonable.
Yeah. I think he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
25 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. It's the whole show on a Friday, presented by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We'll play a little bit because I want to get your thoughts. Because I feel like sometimes I take this too personally when the athletes and coaches just flat out attack the reporters. And I'm not defending all reporters because some of them can be knuckleheads. But Russell Westbrook, who's playing for the Tanking Kings, had an interesting post-game press conference last night. And reporters trying to get into it, talking whatever. And here's a bit from Russell Westbrook on that. And I wanted to get your thoughts on it. We got Derbs, the dude down the hall, and the Tanner Schwint show, and what's his Captain Kirk guy. And I want to get your thoughts on this coming up. So here's Russell Westbrook.
What y'all think, though? Because y'all got a lot of answers, and y'all always be talking.
I got no answers for
y'all. Oh, it's very interesting. Nobody, y'all don't got no... You guys have a lot of opinions about how we do what we're doing. What you got? No, you. Yeah, you make a lot of statements and broad statements that you have no context. So where do you get your context from? Are you in practice? Are you at our film session? Are you anywhere around the building? No, I haven't seen you at practice. So the false context of... And actually, do you know me?
I know you.
No, you don't know me. You don't know me. You don't know me. But you make a lot of comments as though you do know me.
Talking about your basketball.
No, you don't. My intent. I see it. But I'm asking you now, but you don't know me, right? So you don't know anything about me.
Not you personally.
Thank you. That's good. Anybody else, you guys have any comments about how we play, what we're doing?
Yeah, there's Russell Westbrook. And that's just another one of those where it's like, hey, You're not in practice. You don't play. You don't do our film study. You don't know me as a person. You don't know my goals and my dreams. And I would say this. Most writers, radio talkers, whatever, that are paid to give opinions are typically discussing the on-the-court stuff. And then obviously some other things bleed in, their dedication to the team or whatever. And I can't speak for those. I'm not reading the Sacramento Times or whatever. But this is just another example to me of one day I just want like our entire industry, our sports media industry, just to say, you know what? If you're going to talk to us like we don't really matter and we don't know what we're talking about, just what happens if all the TVs shut off and stop talking sports? All the radio stations stop talking sports? All the writers stop writing about sports and they just go away? those industries would cease to exist.
Yeah, I wish somebody in there, you know, because I don't think it's probably a glorious job of covering the Sacramento Kings. I wish somebody would have said, you know what, Russ, I think you shoot the ball too much. You don't make any of them. You're about 15 years past your prime. I think it's time for you to retire. That's what I'm seeing when I'm watching the games. That's what I'm seeing when I'm watching you practice. That's what I'm hearing from you right now. He sounds like the old, he sounds like me on Monday morning when I'm yelling about being up. Like, he just sounds like a cranky old man on there. Like, that is, it's just so insecure. I know it happens across sports, but it seems like this happens in basketball, period, whether it be college. The guy, you raising your voice at me?
A lot.
You raising your voice at me?
I'm seeing a lot.
Yes, you
of it,
did.
Though.
Yes, yeah. It
football
just,
does it. It.
Maybe we're in just this time, but it certainly has always, it seems to me that it's always basketball centric around it. You go back to even Greg Popovich and making those comments. You know, Bill Belichick, of course, Marshawn Lynch, you think of a couple in the NFL, but basketball just seems to take everything. So damn personally. And I wish one of those reporters would have said, hey, you shot 17% from the field tonight. You took way too many threes. That's what I know from covering basketball, Westbrook. And nobody has ever done that. And I get it. It's not comfortable because I don't know if I'd have the stones to tell that to Russell Westbrook sitting right there. But that's what it's going to need to be. Somebody needs to just say, listen, dude.
Well, and the only thing I'll push back on, like football, like they're only talking once a week. And those type of press conferences too.
Sure.
So you're not hearing it as much, but that's where I know I sound like I'm taking I get offended by it because I do because yeah we're not
no.
at practice all the time. Are we not supposed to have opinions? You're not. You reviewed a movie today mm-hmm. on Wine at 9. You weren't on the set. What gives you rights yeah. to review it? Well, if you're not reviewing it, nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, I would like the real comeback. Instead of taking the shots at of the who are you and why are you here things, I would rather, like, obviously he's either reading a piece or making some sort of justification of why he's in the building. Like, I would want both parties to be like, well, I read your article the other day. You said XYZ about my ball game.
Right.
Do you want to ask any follow-up questions of what my thoughts are on this? Like, I want that kind of real sports
talk. Yeah,
give
me an exact. Honestly, I think this is ballooned because of Coach Prime. I mean, mm-hmm. he calls out a legend of sports media, and that's Ed Werder, and he says, I saw that bull junk you put on X, and all Ed Werder said was CU's celebrity coach so-and-so, and it was a positive tweet, but he didn't like the fact that it was celebrity coach. But he didn't even reference that. He just said, I saw the bull junk you posted. You don't get to ask a question.
Well, I feel like they don't take the time to actually, like, I don't think Westbrook is sitting around reading, like, would you? I don't think he's sitting around reading the Times there. The Sacramento Times, I don't know if that's the actual name.
I don't
but
really know.
He's not doing that. So he just doesn't like the vibe of somebody. He's a cranky mood. He sounds like a pissy old man to me.
I don't think he does either, but that reporter, when he started asking the questions, just went into full retreat. Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, now I'm out here. Now what do I do? Like, I would have wanted him to go explain what I just saw.
Yeah,
I watched the game. Yep, I watched the game. I watched you turn it over, whatever, 7 times tonight in certain situations. Do you guys fix that in practice? Because I'm not at practice, but this mm-hmm. is what I just saw.
Yeah. I'd love that mic drop moment from somebody who's just done with their job. You know what? And I think you should legally change your name to Westbrook, like, and just be done with it because somebody on the media side has to do what we're doing right here in front of those damn players. Somebody's got to make a stand on it, and nobody's done it yet. Ed Werder did a little bit, but it was online, right?
I mean, I thought Sean did too by simply, a lot of people said they wanted Sean to fight back with Prime when he said, okay, I'm feeling good now, year's over, here's your chance to say something. A lot of people said Sean didn't have the you-know-whats to say anything. No, Sean wasn't playing his game because Coach mm-hmm. Prime's saying, I'm allowing you to talk now.
Gives him
go ahead,
control.
My little puppet. And Sean didn't buy that, didn't mm-hmm. play the game. And I actually respect him a lot because he didn't do that. I go to this, like, when it's, you have a lot of opinions, but you don't have any fixes for us. If I had fixes for it, I'd be in your chair.
Yeah. And even that, if I had fixes for it, I'd be coaching and you wouldn't be playing.
Yeah, pay me the 10X and let's switch spots here.
This idea that I do think really Coach Prime has emboldened a lot of these athletes, coaches, whatever, where and we've seen it for years, but it just seems like with Coach Prime, he had that power to do so. The sports industry, any industry that's art or entertainment, only survives if it's talked about.
Yeah.
And I think someone needs to educate these coaches and players. Like, if we are not having conversations about your team, positive or negative, then nobody cares. So you should be thankful that this industry exists, but there's none of that stuff.
So you don't agree with me that this is the majority of these come out of basketball?
I've seen a lot.
I know, but I feel like the majority of them come.
I mean, most of the famous rants are from college football coaches.
Yeah. You come at me. I'm
college
40
basketball's
less play. Yeah, basketball is just because less players, more games. Brady's right with the football is once a week for the most part.
And you're only putting so many guys at the podium. It's different when you're interviewing on the side of the field at practice.
Yeah, I will say this too. I can't imagine like the Sacramento players right now being super excited to head up to the podium after probably getting thumped by 30 again every single night. Like, I mean, I'm not defending Russell Westbrook
that. And to be fair, there are plenty of reporters that are jackwagons. There are plenty of reporters. And his name rhymes with Schmutty Schmage. And he likes to act like he is superior and he knows everything. And he's been doing this for years. And a lot of his stuff can be very, 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 very negative. And I've been negative at times. But this is one of those guys that I think people look at and go, wow, you're such a know-it-all. This is a guy that tweeted out, no one from the Olympics will go to the White House. And if I were an American hockey player and I saw him tweet that, I'd be pissed at that too. So I'm not saying reporters are innocent in all of this,
sure.
But opinionated writers, good or bad, fuel the fire. And I've had Division I coaches tell me before,
right?
Be fair, good or negative, it's all positive because the more they're talking about you, the more people get into it.
For me, like as a sports fan, because you guys do more of the media side, obviously, than I do, and I just consume sports. Like for me, I want more of those real talks. I would have loved that situation to go, here's what we worked on in practice. Here I didn't do it. This caused these turnovers. I was terrible tonight.
Yeah, and to your point, like, yeah, nobody wants to do that. You know, you lose something, you have a bad day, whatever. Nobody wants to get in front of this microphone, but damn it, you got a job to do. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason why you've made so much money. The last thing I'll say quickly, if we've got time, Brady, is that we call those reporters out, though, too. You think back to when Caitlin Clark got signed and that reporter did the weird love.
Yep.
He was crucified.
We called him out.
But is anybody, you know, maybe in Sacramento they're having the same conversation. I hope they are. And it's not just, oh, that's Russ being Russ. But I feel like the athletes and the coaches get more of a pass than when the journalists have something, when they screw up. I feel like the journalists get a lot more heat than what the athletes do.
Yeah, and again, just more and more of these players. You're right, Derbs, when you say like Russell Westbrook. If you're calling out a specific reporter, give me something that you read. Hey, man, I saw that you wrote that I don't have leadership capability anymore. What do you mean by that? Go ask my teammates if I have. Let us know exactly what you're talking about, because when it's just vague, yeah, there ain't nothing positive being written about Sacramento right now.
Yeah, if it's fluff versus fluff, like I lose interest immediately.
And you just nailed it on the head, though. There's so many player-controlled media outlets now because setting up a podcast studio relatively cheap that people can't take criticism. Like, and that was something where you used to have to face the music when you had a bad game, or you can just go, even McAfee, right? Even Pat McAfee, you go on his show, there's not hard-hitting questions coming from that. You go on any NBA players podcast, there's no hard-hitting questions coming from any of that. And this is why those old-school journalists, they have to ask some of those tough questions, because that's what we like. We like the negative and the positive, but the players don't, because they can just go on whatever podcast that their buddy is running out and get all the fluff pieces.
Mm-hmm. 42 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Guys, Michael and I decided we want to try to review the Arch Burger
product
on the show.
It's
Arch
not
product.
A product, and you two peas in a pod. Let me go Russell Westbrook on you here for a second. You two peas in a pod, you don't know what you're talking about.
Were we at practice?
We have a new product.
You weren't at practice. You weren't in there.
I was in the kitchen.
He was in the kitchen.
Yeah, that was in 1942. So of course, then it was probably
2000 to 2001.
Did they have the filet? They had the filet of fish.
They did have that.
Did they do a McRib? Did you ever make a McRib?
Yeah,
I don't think they had the McRib at the time that I was there. But they did have, I did make the weird Philly cheesesteak sandwich.
Did you do the intercom thing? Did you say like, hey, welcome to McDonald's? Okay.
No, I was on the grill and the fries.
If I pulled up to McDonald's, I heard that voice, I'd turn around.
Dude, that line would be out. That line would never end.
No, because you'd want to get in a conversation with
order, yeah. please? Yeah. Instead of saying McRib, you should have said.
What do you want?
48 minutes.
Did you hear the original score of Star Trek Season 2? So good.
Are you a Broncos fan?
Sorry, are you communist?
Not,
you can't eat here.
Served.
You're not getting served. Yeah. I would turn around. Millions. What do we learn? Coming up next.
For Hall of Fame Preps Talk, listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what?
All right, what do we learn on this sixth day of March? We had a meeting, an impromptu meeting of the mindless here. I wanted to bring you guys in today, so to the pressure cooker.
I learned that we've got a new nickname for Micah.
Cousin Moe's. Because of Faith.
Because of Faith.
Yep.
Faith contributes more to this program than you do, Micah. That's what I learned today.
What did you learn today?
I learned that we had a wide variety of pressure situations in the state of Colorado. A lot of pressure on our teams, which I think is a good thing because we think that they are going to be successful.
It means that they have stuff to play for, mm-hmm. right? Michael, what'd you learn today, buddy?
I learned that Faith contributes more to this program than I do. So, Faith, if you would like a job, I can train you to produce the whole show.
I actually learned that Faith contributes more to the whole show than Michael does as well. And if you're looking for a job, then
I was going to say, take that deal. Damn good deal.
Yeah, and Faith is Miles still looking for an intern.
Anybody. Again, you guys know the
KFK board, yeah. Brady. I'm hearing rumblings about Micah.
Apparently the KFK board thinks you're better than me.
Not exactly. It's close to that. But
that's what the KFK board is.
They're looking to shake things up.
We'll see.
You guys not hearing that?
Oh, I've been
big
hearing
month
it.
Here.
We'll even all the way down the hall.
By mm-hmm. the end of the month. All right, that'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.